Firstly, I just want to thank the church leaders here for giving me an opportunity this morning just to share with you. It's great to come together. It's great to worship God. It's also good just to open up his word and to read it and just to see what he has to say to us. A couple of weeks ago, we started a new series of talks entitled Growing. Clive got the ball rolling and he started looked at the first part of chapter 12 in 1 Corinthians, Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth, and consider the topic growing in spiritual gifts. Today we're going to carry on and we're going to look at the second part of the chapter, which in the NIV is entitled Unity and Diversity in the Body, or to keep the theme going, Growing in Unity. But before I start and get into this passage, I want to just ask you a question. Have you ever been part of a team? As you've been growing up, maybe you're a part of a team now. Was it a positive experience? Did you have a common goal with that team? How did you feel when that goal came together and you achieved it? Or maybe how did it feel if it didn't? I think I'm a great sports fan, and I look at recently some of the teams that have achieved their goal. Teams like Leicester City Football Club, who won the Premiership. Those golf fans who are probably all away this morning or this weekend. But the Ryder Cup team, how they all came together for that one goal. And even just recently, as yesterday, and all been well, as he cycles into Madrid today, the Sky team coming together to allow Chris Froome to win the Vuelta. Not individual, but together as a team. And I always think it's fascinating when we look at the various issues that Paul decided to address in the two letters he wrote to the church in Corinth. And when we look at the issues that he addresses, we find that the same issues that he was dealing with the church then are the same issues that we as a church today may be dealing with. Issues like church discipline, spiritual gifts, marriage, the Lord's Supper, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as we read Corinthians, right at the beginning, Paul's really, really encouraging with the church. And because of his love and concern, not for only the church at Corinth, but for the other churches that he writes letters to, he has a desire that not only does he encourage them, but he wants to challenge them in their faith. He desires for them to grow. And we find that, and I want to say this as an encouragement to the church leaders here, that this is what we find from the leaders in this church here as well. They want to encourage us. They want us to, what is it, know Christ, grow in Christ, and to go in his name. So they're not afraid as well to maybe challenge some difficult issues that may be going on, because we have one goal, one purpose, and that is to glorify Jesus Christ and to be a witness for him here on earth. Or, as Jesus put it at the end of Matthew, when he speaks to his disciples, he says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age." Let's read this passage now that we're going to consider today. First Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 12, and it's entitled in the NIV, Unity and Diversity in the Body. Just as a body, though one may have many, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. And so the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not stop for that reason being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Second slide. Thank you. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. If we can go back to that first slide, that'd be great. Before we look at the first section here, I just want to come down here and just speak to a couple of people. I'm hoping that this is on. Just to get a...
Hello?
We good? Yeah, we're great. Okay. What I'm going to do is I'm going to just jump in and speak to just a couple of people. Okay, and what I want you to do is I want you to just quickly give your name, how you would describe yourself in one sentence, and a quirky fact about yourself. And that quirky fact may just be, I love chocolate, okay? So I'm going to kick the ball rolling. My name is Kenny. How would I describe myself? Well, I'm a husband, I'm a firefighter, I love sport. And a quirky fact about me is that when I was 12 years old, I got those for Christmas. Okay, so that's me. Now, it's people who I know that I'm going to be speaking on, so.
I'm Graham. A quirky fact would be that I was fourth in the Young Driver of the Year competition back in 1990, or whatever it was. Might have been 2000.
A few years ago. Thank you. Okay, great, excellent. Oh, here we go. Alistair.
Hi, I'm Alistair.
Fantastic. Oh, that's a bit loud. Okay, here we go.
I'm Debbie. I'm a mother of three children. I work full-time as a counsellor. And a quirky fact, as a child growing up, I had sheep. I was a shepherdess.
Fantastic. Excellent. Was it good fun?
It was great fun.
Brilliant. I'm going to stop now because I see lots and lots of people looking at their shoelaces, so I'm not going to move any further. It's like, great, he's going back to pulpit. Fantastic. We're all different. We all have different backgrounds. Some of us, you know, will come from different countries. We're all different, okay? But one of the things that we have all in common is that we are one body. Paul reminds the readers in Corinth of the same fact. Look at verse 13. For we're all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. It's fantastic that when we become a Christian, when we become one part of God's family, God's Spirit indwells within us. And because of that, as I say, we become one family. If you're a Christian here today, it is good to know that we're all one in Christ. We're all part of one family. Doesn't matter what your background is, whether you were a Jew or a Gentile, whether you were a slave or a free, whether however you would describe yourself. When you become a Christian, God's Spirit indwells with you. You become part of that family. Paul touched this again when he wrote to the church in Ephesus, and we hear the words he says to encourage them, and hopefully will encourage us as well. It says this, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory." Again, a good reminder for us today that regardless of where we have come from and what part of life's journey has been like so far, as a Christians, we are part of this one family. We are part of the body of Christ. Now, wouldn't it have been great if Paul was to be able to stop there? That was the end of being able to talk about the body, the family, because everything was working so well. It would almost just be like the Hendersons. Your family is perfect. It works so well. There's no issues. Isn't that right, Graham?
Right. Absolutely.
I'll sit down now. You're meant to say, no, it's not. I'm sure if we're all honest, sometimes families aren't perfect. Sometimes there are one or two issues that need to be addressed. And here we find that Paul doesn't shirk his responsibilities. He doesn't say, great, we can swiftly move on now. He recognizes that there are issues going on in the church in Corinth, and he wants to deal with them. Why? Because his desire is that they grow, and as they know Christ, they grow in their knowledge of Christ, and they go out in his name. That is why he's not afraid to shirk the issues that may be going on. So he doesn't stop there. He goes on into verse 15, and he says these words. Now, I was interested when I was actually having a look at this and when I was sort of considering the letter. I want you to take a minute just to imagine that you're part of the church in Corinth. And either you have a copy of the letter and you're reading it, or maybe somebody's actually standing up front, a little bit like myself, and starts reading the letter. And as you listen to some of the words, there's maybe a little smile comes on your face. Maybe there's a little bit of embarrassment that you can actually maybe recognize yourself. And when I did consider the words, I thought to myself, it's almost a little bit like an amateur dramatic society getting ready for their annual Christmas show. The parts are divided up. The principal players have their parts. And then comes the squabbling. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not stop for that reason being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? We can laugh at it. But is that not necessarily the case for maybe the church today? Maybe in the past, you have been a Christian for a wee while. Maybe in the past, you have felt part of this body, part of the church, part of the church of Christ. But as time has gone on, you don't feel a part of it. For whatever reason, you feel maybe a bit sidelined. Or maybe you're saying, oh, you know, I can't play keyboards like Emma, so therefore I'm not part of the church. Or I can't make tea and coffee like those people who can make tea and coffee so wonderfully well, so I can't be a part of the church. Or maybe somehow you have maybe been hurt in some way over the time and you feel that you're not part of the body. Paul's aware of this, and he interjects the truth in this letter. Again, he reminds his readers right at the beginning. He says, you're a Christian. You have the Holy Spirit indwells within you. This is the seal that God has put on you. You are part of the body. And he also reminds the readers and reminds us today. Look at verse 18. Where are we? Forgive me that I've not put lots of slides up today and I've not sort of highlighted. You just need to be patient with me and just run with it. But hopefully we'll get a sort of sense of kind of what's going on. Look at verse 18. What does it say? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. And if we carry on to the next slide, because there's a theme for me anyway, this was a theme that I picked up when I was looking at this, and I think it's really important that we may pick it up as well today. So we've read that in verse 18. Look at in verse 24b. What does it say here? 24, second part of it. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it. And then again in verse 28, and God has placed in the church. So we'll go back to that first slide. All through the passage here, Paul reminds his readers that it is God that has put things together. You know, we have often sort of talked, certainly in the house group, that as we journey sort of through life, as we live this sort of Christian life, it's almost a sense, it's almost like a play. And just like, you know, the little bit of drama that we've done earlier, that God is somehow the director. And he gives us all parts to play. And we kind of know the ending, okay? We know the ending. We're going to heaven when we spend eternity with God. Amen. Hallelujah. Fantastic. But this bit in the middle, where we're actually doing life, we don't necessarily see the bigger picture. But the question I want to ask myself and ask all of us this morning is, how well do we know and trust the director? Or how well do we know and trust God, our Heavenly Father? Because if we truly knew him, and that's an ongoing experience, that's the, I suppose, the growing part, and if we really trusted him, think of even the words, the songs that we've been singing this morning, then we would surely, even if it's just what we would think is just a very small part, we might not see the bigger picture that we have to play. And it might well be, you know, God has just given me lots of enthusiasm, but that's, you know, just I smile a lot, Mr. McGibbon. You know, the guy's, I don't know how old the guy is, I think he's in his 80s, and yet, he just smiles, and he's happy, and he's enthusiastic. Now, he may come away thinking, that's kind of all I've got to give. And yet somebody else might say, Eric, because of your enthusiasm, you're 80-odd. I see so much enthusiasm. You've probably been a Christian for umpteen years, and I believe he has. And yet you're still enthusiastic. If I could have a fraction of your enthusiasm, maybe I could go on and do so much more. And maybe Eric thinks that's all I've got to give. And yet that small part that he's got to give can make a massive difference. So maybe today you're thinking, but, you know, I don't lead worship. I don't lead Bible studies. I don't do what we would possibly class as maybe the greater gifts. You go, yeah, but God has made you that, given you that brilliant ability to be able to make a cup of coffee and get alongside somebody and to be able to chat. And you may think it's not that great, but I'll tell you something, it's fantastic. It's absolutely brilliant. So, do we trust the director? Do we trust God, our Heavenly Father, for the gift and the talent that he has given us in order for us to sort of glorify him? And maybe as a kickoff for 10, we just need to actually go back and say, well, actually I need to go and know a little bit more about God. Who is this God who says he loves me? Is he patient? Is he kind? Does he give good gifts to his children? And maybe it's just a case of just going back and opening the Bible and actually reading and learning just about how much, what does God actually think about us? Different parts, but we're all needed. Let's read verses 21 to 26. Okay. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, again. But God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it.
I'll move the mic. Is this still on? Thank you. I'm going to just do another wee bit now. Okay. Maybe you heard earlier that I maybe told you what my job is, and if I didn't, then I brought along this. Hold on.
Where's Pauline?
This is my fireman's helmet. So my day job, in fact, I'm going to be there tonight. I am a firefighter. Now, I wanted to sort of like, I did try and find a slide that would kind of demonstrate one of the jobs that we do to try and illustrate this point that we're going to look at. Unfortunately, I couldn't find a slide, but I've got some bits of paper, so I'm going to ask for volunteers. Suddenly, everybody's shoelaces have gone undone again. I'm going to take that. No, I'm going to keep this on. Where are we? Brilliant. I'm going to consider one of the jobs that we do is we turn up to road traffic collisions. And I thought it actually illustrated the point really, really well. Because in a road traffic collision, if a car is crashed and somebody is trapped, we have to release the casualty. That is our one goal when we turn up, is we need to release the casualty. So there'll maybe be sort of a dozen or so firefighters at least will turn up to it, and let you know, unless things are sort of really, really bad. And what we're given is we're given different roles within the that incident. Okay. Now I've got little different bits of paper, so I'm going to just sort of like hand, and you're going to if you're kind of at the front, then you just sort of like hand it so everyone can see. You'll get it. Okay. So actually, I'm going to just start it. So the first one, the first person that we have is our officer in charge. So it's an OIC. Now he's overall in the commander of the incident. Okay, he sort of will then direct where everyone's to go. But then probably the second most important person is the casualty carer. Okay, so there's a casualty within the car. So the officer in charge, okay, he will actually tell somebody to be the casualty carer. All right. Because it's important that casualty is looked after. Then after that, while the casualty carer is busy doing their thing, okay, there's another couple of firefighters, and they will, hold it up, Emma, thank you very much, they will get an equipment dump going. So we need lots and lots of equipment, and so the equipment dump is set up. So the casualty carer is still with the casualty, the officer in charge overlooking, and the equipment dump is getting sorted. But the first thing that we really need to do is to create a stable platform. So we have stabilizing officers, all right? And they're the ones that go around and create and put chocks and blocks under the car and make it a solid platform. It will not move. But then comes the fun bit. We need to actually start, there we go. That one, thank you. We need to start cutting up stuff, and that's really, really good. So we need tool operators. So there's a couple of folk actually on the tools, and they get to cut the roof, do all sorts of bits and pieces. But in order for them to do that, they need somebody on the power pack. So we need a pump operator, and he just has to stay there and make sure that the pump works, so that the tool works. And then finally, somebody has got to put the messages back, and that'll be the driver. Okay, thank you. And that's a driver. Thanks. Thanks very much. So, as we see, we've got lots and lots of different parts. Now, some, you would say, are more important than others. But in order for that goal to be achieved, and the goal is to rescue the casualty, every single person has to play their part. I remember seeing this video once, and before I finish it, nobody died in it, but it was an example of one person possibly not playing the part well. Everybody was rushing about. It was the incident was being filmed. Everyone was rushing about doing this. And the guy who was videoing it narrowed in on the casualty, because all he could hear was this gurgling sound. And he nodded in the casualty. And as the casualty is gurgling and gurgling, for those who are involved with the medical profession, it's a sign that the airway was not cleared, which wasn't good. So everyone was doing everything else. We're cutting the car and this, and the casualty was being ignored, that main goal. The eyes had been taken off the main goal. Eventually, it was somebody said, go and just tilt the casualty's head back, and they did, and eventually the casualty was being released. But it's important that, quick swap, that goal had to be remembered, okay? There was that one goal to rescue the casualty. And I think with it, as we look at that in the church, God, forgive me if I'm being irrespectful, but the great director of this, what we call sort of this Christian life, God, our Heavenly Father, has given us all a role to play, but we are all needed. If the stabilization officer said, that's really boring, sticking chocks and blocks in the car, well, maybe the car would move and that might put compromising to the casualty. And I could do all sorts of different scenarios with the RTC, but you kind of get the idea. There is that one goal to focus on, and it's really, really important that we keep our eyes fixed on that one goal. And regardless of the part that we can play, if we keep our eyes fixed on that one goal and thinking who has given us that part, then surely we will work together, encouraging one another, and we'll go on and to see that goal being realized. Remember the one, or again in verse 24b, if we can get that up, it is God who has put the body together. And that one goal, when he said to his disciples at the end of Matthew, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I will be with you to the very end of the age. It's a very practical portion of Scripture from 21 to 26. And there's this really sort of sense of we need to care for one another. Parts of the human body, we think our own body now, they sort of serve one another. They help one another in order to live and to grow. I need you. We all need each other. We all need each other to play our part. Even Margaret does so much. There's only so much she can do. Eventually, Margaret's got to go and give us a hand, please. And so we all need to play a part and say, yeah, I can give you a hand. In fact, very powerfully, as I was looking at one of the commentaries, David Guzik describes the opposite of serving one another with these words. Sometimes there's a part of our body that only lives to serve itself. It doesn't contribute anything to the rest of the body, and everything it gets, it uses to feed and grow itself. We call this cancer. When we all work together, we can all rejoice when things are going well. If things are not going well, we can be there to support one another. And what the passage here sort of says, it says, here we go, it says, if one part suffers, every part suffers, and if one part is honoured, then every part rejoices with it. We think of I was talking about the Sky team earlier, Chris Froome will ride into Madrid victorious today, he will get all the plaudits, but this whole team, from the backroom staff to his trusty lieutenants, they'll all rejoice. And the same way, just think about it, when you walk out the shower and you stub your big toe, your whole body is suffering. Different parts, different gifts. Finally, Paul gives us a list of gifts that the body of Christ has, the church will have. It's not an exhaustive list, but it's a list anyhow. We can all bring something to serve each other. And it was fantastic that James even made that list earlier. I don't know whether it's possible to sort of get that list back up. Here are parts of the body of Christ, some of the things that we would maybe sort of do here at Kirkliston. A long list, but even as we found out earlier, there was others were coming up with different ideas. What about this and that and the next thing? There's lots of ways in order that we can serve each other, even here at Kirkliston, and maybe even using some of these gifts to serve the wider body
of the church out with it. Again, I just want to sort of bring just a little picture. If we can just go back to the passage, where you may think that your gift is insignificant. You may sort of think, I've got nothing, not a lot to offer, because you look at the big picture and you go, it's just too much. I've just got a little thing, and it's no. I was reminded again of a story of a group of people. I think there was about 5,000 got together. And Jesus said to his disciples, go and feed them. And his disciples were like, how on earth are we going to do that? It's going to cost us an arm and a leg. And a young lad came up who had 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. And he offered that as a starter for 10. And Jesus done the rest. He turned those 5 loaves and those 2 fishes, and there was enough to feed 5,000 people. Now, I don't know whether the small boy had seen Jesus doing other miracles. We can only but guess. But we know, as we read the word, how powerful Christ is. We know that he can take a small gift like that and do amazing things. So that you may think that, again, that you have such a small gift, but maybe we should just offer it back to God and say, thank you for giving me the gift of helps. I feel that I can't do much with it, but maybe you could do a lot more. Let us offer what we can to God and allow him to do the miracle. And again, from a practical point of view, maybe today you're thinking, well, I'm not really too sure what I've got to offer. Well, come along, go alongside somebody that you trust within the church and have a chat with them. Maybe have a chat with maybe some of the church leaders or even the prayer team or just someone that you trust. How can I help? I've got nothing. Maybe as they chat with you and they find out what you're like, et cetera, et cetera, there may be some things that can be identified. You go, oh, yeah, maybe I could do that. So to sum up, as a Christian, we are part of the body of Christ. But I just want to stop there just slightly and say, maybe today, maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you're not part of this body. Well, it's not a closed door, because God would love for you to come and be part of that body. The door is open for you to come and be part of the body of Christ. And I want you to encourage, if you're sitting here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, take an opportunity to find a little bit more about the Christian faith, either about somebody who you came with today, or the prayer team, or one of the church leaders. But you too can be part of that body. We're all different, different background, different stories, and yet, if you are a Christian here today, we are part of that one body. It's really important to remember that. We all need each other. We cannot do this on our own. We all have different gifts. Different gifts to contribute to the body, gifts that are given to us, whether they're natural or supernatural, by God. And let us choose to use those gifts that we might truly know Christ, grow in our knowledge and relationship with Christ, and finally, to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that he has commanded you, and surely he will be with you. He will be with us all to the very end of the age. Amen.